A lot of people just don't understand like how government works or how the systems work, and they don't understand how like deeply wrong it is for a lot of these people to even be making these communications. Before being in government, you're just a private citizen. And even after being in government, when Trump has people like Giuliani making phone calls to Zelensky, like, who the f*** is Giuliani? This is just a private citizen. Why the f*** are you calling on behalf of anybody for diplomatic stuff or anything? You have no business doing this at all. When you're on the level of like federal senators and you're talking about people that are making through trades on the scale of like thousands, or maybe if they're big dogs, like tens of thousands of dollars, right? Meanwhile, you know, the market cap of, what is the market cap of Trump coin? Is it really, is this it? $1.2 billion. Like the scale, I think you can directly connect everything because they're very blatant about it. They're blatant about everything. Like when Roger Stone was investigated for it, I think he said publicly, he said a statement, something along the lines of, I'm not going to squeal on the president. And he bullied another witness, telling that witness, you better not say anybody. That was one of the convictions that he got, was for obstruction, for bullying another witness. If you're Ben Shapiro, Michael Knowles, if you're Stephen Crowder, if you're any of the conservatives, and try to stand on any principle, because you know they're going to bring back all the old talking points, right? Oh, this president signs too many executive orders, or oh, this guy is corrupt.
But no, it was a jar of black caviar that Yanukovych gave to Manafort when he was working with him in Ukraine. I just thought it was interesting, a nice little microcosm of the bribery and like corruption that happens. I just didn't know, like, I knew that like, Paul Manafort had worked with Ukraine for a long time. Mm-hmm. But I just assumed it was regular consulting work. It wasn't until I wrote this article, well, until I read the Mueller report, that I was like, oh shit, this guy was like, this guy's part of the corruption, this guy's part of the scandals. It's actually a little insane. The jar of caviar was just like it's obviously just the tip of the fucking iceberg. But that fat piece of shit Manafort took the caviar, and then, like I said, he sold out our democracy for it. So I hope.
Did he? So I'm not trying to run defense for Manafort, but wasn't the thing that he was basically doing was he was doing a lot of consulting and help for, wait, don't say the name. Was it Poroshenko?
Nope.
Okay, wait, don't say the name. It wasn't it wasn't Yanukovych, right?
No.
It wasn't
Yanukovych. He did consulting work for Yanukovych's party, but he was working with a direct Russian oligarch, but it wasn't that one.
I thought it was, there was one of the Ukrainian prime ministers, I think, or presidents, whichever one it is.
Well, yeah, it was Yanukovych. Yeah, no.
It was Yanukovych?
Oh, okay. Yeah, but he was closely aligned.
He was getting like millions of dollars for this, and it was unreported. I think that when the guy the meme was when this guy got kicked out of office or when he left or whatever, people found like a, like, you know, like Epstein client list, like an actual like list of names and dollar amounts or something paid, and Manafort's name was on it. I think that was the start of the like tying Manafort and everything together, if that rumor was true, if I remember reading that correctly. But
he got like the amounts that were disclosed are a little weird. So for example, he had a contract, his company got a contract from the Party of Regions, that's Yanukovych's party. Mm-hmm. I think it was for like $60,000 over 6 months of work. But then, yeah, he was eventually found that he was paid more than $60 million by other, assumedly, oligarchs. But, like, where
okay,
that money
I didn't know
came
that
from,
much. Okay.
Like, exactly. Yeah, it's quite bad. He was working directly with Deripaska. That was the guy that I was referencing. This guy's an actual Russian oligarch that he was communicating with all the time. But that's not even the worst part. Do you know who Konstantin Kilmelik? I don't know how to pronounce his fucking
nope.
name. Dude, that's his personal Russian spy. That's like his best friend. How do you not know this guy?
Well,
he's on the FBI's most wanted.
Oh, well, okay.
This little cutie, they were such cute little dates. But basically, he was, we know for sure that Konstantin had like ties to Russian intelligence. That's like, well, it's not undisputed, but it's more than likely known.
Sure. I would imagine every Russian oligarch is to some extent connected, right? Nothing happens in Russia with any of those families without...
Yes, but Konstantin is not a oligarch. That is his, like, that was Manafort's spy, like his actual, like, spy.
Okay.
I think Konstantin was a translator in the Russian army for a couple years, and that's how, like, he got this position.
Okay.
How he, like, linked up with Manafort specifically, no idea. Maybe they found each other on Grindr. Who knows? But they were working together. It was, like, this guy was emailing Manafort straight from the straight from Moscow. He's like, hey, like I'm meeting with our friend, by the way, our nice little friend Deripaska. We should probably fix up these issues because they were having some legal disputes or whatever. But it's super obvious that what was happening. Manafort was using the Russian government but he was trying to get money from Ukraine, but from basically advocating for Russian positions in the United States and in Europe. I think he was like explicitly paid for this in the beginning in like 2005 or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, later on, he just like, they just work together. It's so frustrating to read all this shit. But he basically just had Konstantin running around Moscow, talking with the oligarchs, and then reporting back to him. And then whenever the investigators would come up to Manafort and be like, "Hey, like, this is a little weird, right? You're working with this guy. He seems to have like sent you a message from Moscow. He seems to have done this." There's like just enough evidence missing for him to be like, "Oh, I don't know. That's crazy, dog. Like, I just don't. I don't remember any of that, you know? Like, if he was like messaging from Moscow, that's just no way that happened. But, you know, if it did, I wouldn't remember."
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like obvious corruption. It really pisses me off. And then you have dipshits like Rob Noor. Because I watched.
Well, I mean, you say it pisses you off. Well, I mean, he was convicted, right? How much longer is Manafort in prison for? It's got to be, I think, like a decade or something at least, right?
Oh yeah, dude. He got pardoned. What do you mean?
Wait, no way, right? Are you saying Donald Trump pardoned?
Are you trolling me?
I am trolling you. Yes, but that was one of the nobody talks about Manafort or the fact that I think that Manafort was his. I don't know what you would call it, not chief of staff, but like his chief campaign manager, right? In 2016.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was. He was campaign manager.
And
he
people always focus on like people always focus on like Flynn and everything, who definitely, by the way, did intentionally lie to the FBI about conversations he was having that he shouldn't have lied about. So everybody that covers for Flynn. And then also like if you go check Flynn's Twitter, this you know Flynn is fucking crazy, right? That guy is insane.
Yep.
But yeah, that nobody, everybody will talk about like the Flynn pardon was justified because the conviction was bullshit because they were just harassing him and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, but the real meme was that Manafort dude was super weirdly connected in a bad way in a lot of weird shit going on, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, Yanukovych is from the Donbass, right? Like he's from the Donbass region. That's where he's from. And coincidentally, like in 2014, when Crimea is annexed and Yanukovych hasn't been ousted yet, it's kind of weird that Manafort was like his number one guy. They were best friends. They were hanging out all the time. It's just like, yes, Manafort had probably the worst connections out of all of them. Out of all the ones that I read.
Oh,
I
for went over sure, Cohen, for sure.
Yeah. That he's definitely the most obvious, the most blatant. He had like direct things like, "Oh, we have to make Putin happy. We have to make my boss happy." It's just so plainly obvious. And what pisses me off even more is that, yeah, not only that he got pardoned, but all these conservatives will just be like, "Yeah, so? Am I not? I'm sorry. Is he not allowed to make money in Russia now? Are we not allowed to talk to Russians anymore?" Mm-hmm. It's delusional. Like it's honestly sickening how deep it goes. And then that Trump is currently president. That's like the best part of all of this. Like you're reading all this and you're like, "Holy shit, like this is insane. I can't wait to see the punishments." You know what I mean? But there's none. There's fucking none.
I feel like there's a guy that emails me good stuff sometimes. And I feel like one of the things I need to do debate wise in terms of rhetoric, if I start debating like more conservative people again, is I think you really have to find like one or two points to like just hammer home, and you just have to fight like aggressively difficult on these points and make them own it, and just like that's it. Because there is no like broader conversation. There is no, somebody said something in YouTube chat yesterday. Did you say that conversation with Jack Smith?
Well, no, I haven't seen it yet.
It was like, it's like an hour and 20 minutes, and it's Jack Smith and a guy who used to work as a prosecutor, something Weitzman. And like somebody in YouTube chat said, like, how can you listen to a guy like this and think that this guy's like a liberal, insane person? And, you know, it's like, it's so true. There are some of these people you listen to that were part of these governments, like the Obama administration or the Biden administration. And you listen to these guys and it's like, these guys sound like men with a lot of integrity. They sound like people that are trying to do the best they can. They try really hard to be apolitical. Like you compare that to listening to, you know, call center Patel or in Bimbo Bondi speaking. And these people just sound like stooges. And I feel like it's hard for me because it's not as much what I enjoy, but like you have to like abandon any serious discussion and you just got to find one or two factual points and just hammer them constantly. So like, yeah, why did Trump pardon Manafort, the guy who was working so closely with Russian oligarchs and wasn't disclosing any of his income? Like whatever you accuse Hunter Biden of doing, which all of it was bullshit, by the way, it's like a million times worse with Manafort. And that wasn't an accusation. That was like an investigation, conviction and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it's because of the, like when you read the actual. Have you read the Mueller report at all?
I haven't, but I have it up. But I've gone through parts of it. But I like the whole section he does on obstruction too. By the way, where he's like, "Yeah, this is basically but nobody talks about it."
Yeah, I haven't finished that section yet. That's going to be the next article. I'm on like the last 100 pages, I would say. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like the shit that they do is so. It's what I'm talking about, where they just like they conveniently lose text messages and stuff like that. I haven't written about them yet, but do you know who Eric Prince is?
Why do I
former CEO of Blackwater, I think, or BlackRock, one of them, one of those.
Okay, Was he involved in the tower meeting?
Oh, no, not in the tower meeting. Oh, okay, okay. The tower meeting was just...
Which,
was
by Kushner, the way, I've said this on stream like a million times, and I used to be like super anti-Trump in like 2016 to 2018, and then I kind of like fell for the Trump derangement syndrome meme where they say that like you're being Trump deranged. I'm like, maybe we did go too hard on him. And then it was really my big debate with Pisco, where Pisco got mad at me over the whether or not Trump was responsible for J6. And I thought that was kind of a bullshit argument. Like, that's what set me down the whole path of starting to read more into what happened in the first admin. And I'm like, wait a second. This shit was like mega, insane. Mega fucked.
He should have been locked up. Trump needs to be locked up for like 40 years.
It's crazy. Yeah, it was so crazy. Absurd.
That meeting that you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, the meeting was crazy, but they managed to, like, play. The meeting didn't matter. Nothing mattered. They lied about it. They lied about who was there. They lied about what they were going for, and they, like, trickle-truthed it out, and nobody gave a fuck. Yeah, sorry, go on.
It's because the actual truth of it is that the meeting probably didn't have anything. It probably was a huge waste of time based on the text messages that Kushner was sending during the meeting. He was, like, emailing his assistant. I was like, yo, what the fuck am I here? It's such a waste of time.
But the meeting was for, it was a Russian attorney that had come
to give them damaging information on Hillary Clinton.
Yes, that was the explicit purpose of the meeting, which is explicitly illegal and not allowed. That was exactly what happened. And they lied initially and said it was for some save the kids shit or some charity bullshit. And then eventually they trickle truth out because they got nothing. Like, oh, you know, we talked about some shit because, you know, who knows? And that was it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But they were there explicitly to find it. The thing that's really sinister about all this, you have to remember, as all of this is happening, the GRU units, the IRA, they're hacking Podesta's emails and shit. Mm-hmm. They're like in the process of hacking and disseminating this information and communicating directly with Roger Stone, who, by the way, was a high-level Trump campaign employee.
Yep. Surrogate,
like, all these people.
Who was also meeting, by the way, the day before J6 with the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers in hotel rooms and shit, which he was. Yeah. Yeah.
I actually didn't know that. That's so cute. Yeah. Jesus Christ. No, but like they just close out the fact that there's nothing there, that you can't actually technically connect anything. Like, yes, did Roger Stone communicate with a hacker? Okay,
I disagree with what you're saying. I disagree with what you're saying there. I think you can directly connect everything because they're very blatant about it. They're blatant about everything. Like, when Roger Stone was investigated for it, I think he said publicly, he said a statement, something along the lines of, I'm not going to squeal on the president. And he bullied another witness, telling that witness, you better not say shit to anybody. That was one of the convictions that he got, was for obstruction, for bullying another witness. And he was pardoned for everything.
That's what they're doing to everybody in Trump Tower. Like, I forget exactly who it was. I think it was Eric Prince. That it was either after that meeting or another meeting with a Russian oligarch that he went to Trump Tower. And they're like, okay, he was there for 3 hours. But mysteriously, all the text messages from that time range, they're all gone. Nobody knows. Even though we can look at their phone records and see that they were exchanging text messages, they say that they don't know what happened to them. I don't know. It must have been a glitch. I just lost all my... It's like getting caught cheating and then telling your girlfriend, like, oh, I don't know where those texts came from. I must have gotten hacked. It's retarded. And then they're like, okay, well, maybe they talked to somebody else in the Trump Tower that could give us information. But how weird, nobody there knows anything about like any meetings with Russian oligarchs or anything to do with hacked materials. It's all gone. With Papadopoulos, I didn't write about him in the article, but there's another one where, like, this little I apologize. It's okay, guys. I'm bisexual. I f*** men. But either way, Jesus.
Go ahead.
Guys.
Pop it up. Let's just go.
He was running around. Yes. He was running around bragging because he obviously wanted to be a big fish. So he was running around like, oh my God, guys, I'm talking with a Russian. Like, guys, I know this guy called Misfoot. He knows everybody in the Russian government. Like, I got you. He was explicitly trying to organize a meeting with Putin and Trump before Trump was even nominee. He was like, okay, yeah, we should totally set it up. You should totally go to Moscow. It'll be so fucking epic. This guy can't. The only thing out of this guy's mouth is Russia and the hacked emails. He said explicitly, Russia has dirt on Hillary Clinton. But then when he goes to Trump Tower, when he goes to these meetings and talks about it, everybody's like, oh, he never mentioned anything like that. Uh-huh. That's crazy. I would never advise in favor of like disseminating hacked materials. That's crazy. There's a billion examples, but yeah, it's just insane cronyism. And the scary thing is, again, is that Trump is still in power. I don't know how you can, like...
I think a lot of it, too, I've complained about this a lot, maybe even to you, that a lot of people just don't understand, like, how government works or how the systems work. And they don't understand how, like, deeply wrong it is for a lot of these people to even be making these communications. Like, before being in government, you're just a private citizen. And even after being in government, when Trump has people like Giuliani making phone calls to Zelensky, like, who the f*** is Giuliani? This is just a private citizen. Why the f*** are you calling on behalf of anybody for diplomatic stuff or anything? You have no business doing this at all. Even if you were in the White House, the call would be grossly improper. But the fact that you're a private citizen, what the f***?
And these people also complain about Hunter Biden talking to whoever the fuck.
Yeah, but this is like, all of it is like not serious, right? You see this, right? Where was our special prosecutor investigation into the Signal chat stuff? How many months did we have to hear about Hillary's emails?
Investigations? Bro, they're talking about Nancy Pelosi's insider trading when Trump has a crypto coin.
Yeah, like who kidding? The care? Yeah, what are we even talking about? And all these like real estate deals that they're signing all over the world. Did you see that thing? I played this. Nobody cared about it or said anything. But was it the? It wasn't Modi. It was who was it? There was some world leader guy or ambassador or something that was talking to Donald Trump, and he was like, "Can I talk to your boy Eric or whatever?" And Trump's like, "Oh yeah, for sure. I can set up a call. He's a good kid or whatever." Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, was
but
it?
I think
the Indonesian prime minister. Yeah, it's just like what the. But like then that's it.
Are you allowed to? Because in conservatives' mind, it's like, who cares? You're just making money. Who
you know,
cares?
You
cares?
Remember that the entirety of the Hunter Biden thing was based on what Trump did happening. Like, except Trump did it, right? The entire whole Hunter thing was based on that. The big guy, that's Joe Biden. And he's arranging meetings and he's abusing his dad and all that, right? He's abusing his dad for business stuff. That was the whole thing that they were alleging. And Donald Trump just does it openly and no one cares. Like,
no one cares.
I can't take any, because I'm not going to be able to do politics in like 2028 when like, all these conservatives have to be cycled out for somebody new. Like, I don't know how a man can look somebody in the face. If you're Ben Shapiro, Michael Knowles, if you're Stephen Crowder, if you're any of these conservatives and try to stand on any principle, because you know they're going to bring back all the old talking points, right? Oh, this president signs too many executive orders, or oh, this guy is corrupt. He's, you know, helping his family members. It's nepotism. Like, how do you take any of these people seriously? Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Nepotism with Hunter Biden when like Jared Kushner was like an actual
seriously.
Member of the
Yeah, and like, Lara Trump is like a Fox News anchor person now who's interviewing her own dad on Yeah, it's crazy. And then Eric Trump and his other Trump loser kid are like have all these businesses that are trading on the Trump name and obviously all the crypto. And like any one of these things on their own would be insane. Like imagine Obama coin or Biden coin that he can anonymously accept. It's just crazy, dude.
Or when he obviously shorts the market, like right before he announces another thing with China. I don't know if it was more tariffs or whatever. His most recent beef with China, there was that one guy who opened up positions like 2 minutes before he announced it and made like a profit of like whatever 1,000%. It's like, bro, like what the like. We're just openly doing this, and we complain about insider trading for Nancy Pelosi. It's like, oh, she makes too much money on her stocks. Didn't this guy probably made more money off that one trade than Nancy Pelosi has made like over her entire career? Like,
yeah, that's another issue too. Is like people, and I understand it, especially if you're not super rich or whatever. Like people don't understand the scale of money sometimes. Like people don't understand how like do you know the difference between a million and a billion? Like,
yeah, you get the little rice grains or whatever.
Well,
you can visualize it really easily.
Sure, yeah, but the answer is a billion, right? That's the difference. It's basically the entire thing. Like, there's no comparison. And when you're talking about people who are making, when you're on the level of like federal senators and shit, you're talking about people that are making through trades on the scale of like thousands or maybe if they're big dogs, like tens of thousands of dollars, right? Meanwhile, you know, the market cap of, what is the market cap of Trump coin? Is it really? Is this it? $1.2 billion. Like the scale is so.
Not Chuck Melania coin. Jesus Christ.
Like people don't understand the difference in scale for how much money these motherfuckers are making. It's crazy.
I feel like the crypto shit just for me is the thing that finally like, okay, these people actually care about nothing. Like I had friends like. I have friends who are illegal immigrants and then friends who would be happy to deport that same person, even though they're friends with them. Like, and that shows me no principles. But at the very least, like, that guy is going to argue to me, like, okay, like, maybe our one friend, like, maybe he's cool. But, you know, just in general, we're about to let them in. Okay, fine. But the crypto coin is, like, the number one thing. Like, how could you possibly ever
justify
this?
It's indefensible, yeah.
But they just hit you with a little smile, that little stupid smirk. And they're like, so?
Who cares? Is it illegal? Is it illegal? Is he not allowed to do it? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was America. Yeah.
It's always technicalities. It's always some random fucking bullshit. Like, well, is it allowed? Blah, blah, blah. But then when everything Biden or Democrats like, well, that was morally wrong. Like, you shouldn't be doing that. Like, but it's allowed though, right? But they're obviously going to tweak out. But it's like I was saying earlier with Rob Noor, when you had that 3-hour debate with him, I watched that whole thing. In his introduction, he does the meme. He does the Mueller report meme, where it's like, no crimes were found. This investigation found no crimes. They say this over and over and over again in the Senate intelligence report. I know that Marco Rubio and his I almost said a bad word. Marco Rubio and his little friends, they were tweaking out, trying to put a provision at the end, like a 2 paragraphs long, emphasizing, guys, just say, I know this all looks really bad, but we technically didn't find anything. And it's like, they didn't find anything because there's obvious obstruction. Rob Moore says there were no crimes found, and his very next sentence is, though we don't have smoking gun evidence that Obama is directly involved in lawfare, the circumstantial evidence is very convincing.
The issue is, I wish I knew more. I hadn't gone on my law arc yet, so I didn't know really anything about our legal system. But like, there is not a crime for collusion. That's not a crime. They would never find collusion as a crime. That doesn't make any sense. But Mueller, he either all but says, or I think he might say directly, like, there is strong evidence for the obstruction with regards to the firing of Comey. So what are we gonna, that's it. And like, what is the point of obstruction? Is to prevent somebody from finding another crime. So like, if you see there's been obstruction, then it's just stupid. Like, Trump did everything he could to kill that investigation, and people still pretend. And then meanwhile, Biden, it is true, right, that Biden concurrently had 2 different special prosecutors looking into his family, right? There was the investigation on his files, and then what was the special prosecutor for Hunter Biden?
Durham?
Was it Durham? Durham was for the FBI stuff, Crossfire. Yeah.
I don't remember exactly who was on the Hunter Biden stuff. I forget.
But like, yeah, like, Biden's shit is getting investigated out the fucking ass. And like, people are like, oh, lawfare. Biden controls the DOJ. If Biden controlled the DOJ, where the fuck would these investigations go? Like, what do you mean? They would have killed this shit immediately. Stupid.
That's what Trump does. Trump only has Pam Bondi like at his beck and call doing whatever the fuck he wants.
That went out where he's literally like, Pam, where are we at on like indictments for these people or whatever? Not exactly. What was he like? We need to do something about these guys. We've got strong cases. Where are we at? Like, direct. And I think he even deleted it and reposted it with a spelling correction, man. I'm like, what the f-? Why the president of the United States just literally openly telling Pam to go after people? What?
It's because you have to think of this like you're retarded. That's the problem. You don't think like a retard, like the conservatives do. When conservatives see that, they just think, she works for him. Duh, she's in the government and he's the president. And that's the beginning and end of it. He's like, yeah, he's the president. He can do whatever he wants. That's why they make these memes about being a king. He's like, I should be able to have complete control. But then, yeah, obviously, like, it's not even worth saying, but yeah, obviously, if Biden came in and did the same shit, they would be crying. They would be sobbing. I just hate the selective, like, outrage that they pick. And the fact that, like, you're going to sit here and argue, well, you don't need, like, we're arguing about the definition of collusion, whether or not it's a crime. The conservatives don't give a shit about that. Damn. If Hunter Biden was talking with anybody even closely related, anything even remotely like Manafort or like Papadopoulos, that would be the, it doesn't matter. They're not going to say,
also, can you remind me, because I forgot, it's been a while, what was Hunter Biden's role in the White House again?
I think he was son in chief.
And then what was he? Was he appointed somewhere? Was he a special ambassador like Kushner? Was he a special appointee? A special role? Was he elected anywhere? Like, Hunter had nothing to do with the government anywhere.
Yep.
It's just wild. Also, I'm even more mad looking back on this truth that Trump made. I realize the thing that sucks the most too is it's not even like hypothetical stuff like the Jan 6 speech. Or no, that's not hypothetical. I'm saying like when I point to the Jan 6 stuff, I'm like, you know that not only can I say that he incited a riot, like the riot literally happened right after I said he incited it. Is that just a coincidence? A few people literally answered me like, well, yeah, I think that was a coincidence. Like, wait, what? This Trump truth was literally to Pam, I reviewed over 30 statements and posts saying that essentially, same old stories last time, all talk, no action, nothing's being done. What about Comey, Adam Schiff, Letitia? They're all guilty as hell, but nothing's going to be done. Then we almost put in a Democrat-supported U.S. attorney in Virginia with a really bad Republican past, a woke rhino who is never going to do this job. And then he points out, Lindsey Halligan is a really good lawyer and likes you a lot. We can't delay any longer. It's killing our reputation and credibility. What is reputation credibility to do this? Lindsey Halligan is the prosecutor that's prosecuting. Is she the one that filed for both of these, right? For Comey and Letitia?
I don't know, honestly.
Because this is the fucking real estate attorney.
I mean, yeah.
But like, this is it. Maybe. Like, it's happening. It's happened. This is the person that they have to hand the prosecution off to because no other prosecutor will touch these dog shit fucking cases. Oh yep. My god.
It's just like, yeah. It's just obviously it's sycophants. He just wants sycophants. That's why he gets these retard lawyers to come in and do whatever the fuck he wants. I don't know. I don't know what to do. The problem that I think is that I don't know, like, obviously people talk about what's going to happen when Trump dies or whatever, but like, I don't see that this like style of thinking, like this style of thinking for conservatives, why would that go away when Trump dies? Like, I understand that he's the cult leader, so maybe some of them will like break free and be like, oh, maybe Trump wasn't that good,
or
like,
well, because I just don't know who's going to lead. I don't know who's going to lead the party afterwards.
The problem for me is the line of thought, is the way that they come to their conclusions.
Well, but like, they don't come to conclusions or think about it, right? Like I said this before, like people like Charlie Kirk or people like Marco Rubio, like if you put these guys in government, they're not going to be the same as Trump. They're just following him because they're weak men who are trying to maintain political power or relevancy.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't like... I don't like where the conversation is at right now. That's the problem. It does, like... I don't want to hit on civil war memes, but there's definitely, like... There's definitely a lot more unrest, and there's still 3 more years of Trump. So, like, we could be talking right now, like, okay, yeah, maybe they won't do anything because their support will die out or whatever. But I feel like something could happen, although, like, I don't want to go against the Chud. But I do think something might happen in the future, in the next 3 years. But, like, I don't know the severity or whatever. And the problem for me is that I don't know how to prepare for it. I don't know how to, like, or help prevent it, I guess.
Yeah, it is crazy that we're only a year into this, and I don't know what, like, it's just, yeah. I don't know what else.
And he's already deploying National Guard to different
everywhere
states and stuff like that.
And starting like a war with Venezuela. We're just like blowing up ships in the ocean for
bro,
it's
now,
just
now Colombia too, bro. What are you talking
about? Oh yeah,
about?
And starting shit with Colombia because we're unhappy with what the leader said in New York. Yeah, it's just I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's a little weird that he's so willing to just go to war with these little Latin American countries.
Well, none of it is like real. They're all like video games. He's like a 12-year-old basically, right?
Do you think he'll ever actually like invade Venezuela or like do like an actual hot war against them?
The thing that I look at when I try to analyze Trump's behavior is I view him as like an influencer slash narcissist. So I feel like he likes easy wins. I think that's why he doesn't want to support Ukraine because it's not guaranteed. I think it's why he wanted the war to end in Israel-Palestine just to get it like to say like, oh, look, I sold this war. He doesn't really give a fuck. I feel like there's a world where he does something with Venezuela or Colombia or in South America because it's like an easy, epic, you know, bombing win. And then you just like move on from that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. It's definitely possible, but I don't know. I feel like I feel like those easy wins are going to be hard to come by because right now he's just like surface level going through all the things on Project 2025.
Yeah.
But he might get more.
Oh, I also like, by the way, how they all openly lied about that. And they like wink, wink, XD. Like Trump's like, oh, yeah, this is a great dude. And like nobody cares about the fact they all like.
Didn't he say that he would never do it?
I've never heard about this. I don't know anything about it. He said it over and over again. And now it's like, ha, yeah, this guy's a bot. He's a cool Project 2025 guy. They all have villain names. Like,
because they are villains. These are literally the cartoon villains that people would write about.
Well, a little, but they're dumber than cartoon villains, which is in some ways sad and in some ways, yeah.
Well, some of them are. I don't know about Stephen Miller. That guy could be.
Oh, true. Like, just Trump is stupid, unfortunately.
Yes, I think everybody else just like there could be some smart people in there that just not smart in the sense of like they know what they're doing, but like smart as an evil and just waiting for their opportunity for Trump to die down or to like kind of like do a Reagan where he gets too old to function and then they can kind of like be president proxy, kind of like Nancy Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thinking. But who knows? Who knows? Either way. My last question for you, what do we do about, like, I see that regular Republicans can parrot, like, Russian talking points. They're just talking points in general, but specifically from Russia is a little scary because the things that they say are one for one with, like, what Putin and other Russian propaganda will say, but they don't have any of the underlying facts, like that, I keep bringing him up because I don't want to give him clout, but that skinny brown guy that you were debating with who had the InfoWars shirt during Pangburn. I don't know what his name is. I didn't say it, but he was like parroting like Russian talking points. Like,
oh, the really young kid.
Yeah, I understand that he's like a griper retard.
Yeah, sure.
So he's like I get that, but it's kind of scary to me at least that he can parrot them so expertly. That especially like the NATO ones where he's like, yeah, NATO threatens Russia. Like, of course it does. Like, look at how close it's getting. But then when it comes to fucking Ukraine and Native Americans, he's like, huh, so who cares if they lost their country? It's a little weird to me. I don't know how to counter that. Like, not necessarily just Russian information, but, like, I don't know how to get our side to be able to parrot these talking points, like, as effectively as these other people do.
I mean, you're never going to be as effective as, you're never going to be as effective as, like, I don't want to say the fascist word, as, like, people that are in cults. One thing that who did I read this from? I think I was just reading quotes, but it felt true, hopefully. Or it was a paragraph or something. But something about how, like, evil always overplays its hand, and that's why it tends to fail. So You know, the downside to all the ridiculous talking points is that they can never constrain themselves. So eventually it just gets so ridiculous and wacky that it all kind of falls apart anyway. So maybe, I don't know, we'll head in that direction, but
we'll see, I guess. We'll see. I just hate Trump. It's just the beginning of it. I hate Trump. Oh, wait, actually, I have one more question, but it's low key Fed posting, but like, what do you think the response should be from like a civilian perspective to ICE? Would you agree with like, well, not would you agree?
I think that there's actually a time where it's funny and semi-ironic, but like this is where like technically the Democrats can, like, you know, I've been saying, and everybody's been saying, like, oh, and they're doing a good job of this. Democrats being like patriotic and, you know, we like the flag and we like the Constitution. That's important. Like, I think this is a big states' rights opportunity. Was it Pritzker who said that ICE wasn't going to be authorized to use any of his state's resources? Or was it a mayor that said this?
It was Pritzker.
I think it's like states' rights time, I think, for states to step up and be like, yeah, you know, this is not only a sanctuary city or a state or whatever now, like, you're like, we're not sharing any resources with you anymore. We're not cooperating anything beyond, you know, the bare minimum that's required by law, which I don't even know what can be required by law in terms of federal state cooperation. So let them enforce everything on their own, you know, don't their phone calls, you know, whatever else. I think, yeah, and as little cooperation with federal authorities as possible. If they're going to continue to act like belligerent dictators, that's not... like, federal authorities are not here to usurp the state power. Well, conservatives used to be about that a lot, but they don't care anymore, I guess, because they're the federal power. But yeah, I think the Democrats need to get on that more. They're starting to, though.
You don't think it would lead to clashes, like,
maybe
state and federal groups?
But I mean, like, that's, we have to get over that. The other side, like, imagine playing chicken with somebody that you know is always going to give up. Right?
Yep.
You always win.
We did this before during the Cuban Missile Crisis, where it was like they looked each other in the eyes and then Russia blinked. Except this time, fucking, we're the ones blinking. The Democrats are the ones blinking. I don't think the conservatives would actually fight. I don't think they would actually like take up arms and fight against the woke and like die a bloody war for it or for Trump. They would never do that. I don't.
Yeah.
So I think it is good to show force back to make them scared, because they basically see us as stupid pussies right now.
Yeah. But we need to do a better job on the left, and this is really hard. I know we hate this, especially after BLM and everything, but we have to not demonize cops. We have to show solidarity with police officers who are state police over federal authorities, and we can't just blanket all of them. Like, I think it's okay to have problems with you know, like with policing and racial profiling and all that, that's okay. But we need to recognize that there is a difference between our state police, our city police, and like federal authorities coming in, and be able to notice that separation. I think that's an important thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. What about from a civilian perspective? Let's say there were people who were like doxing ICE agents or whatever to like go and like, I don't know, egg their house or slash their tires or something. Is that something that like necessarily you would advocate for, but it's understandable to you at least?
I mean, a lot of stuff is understandable, but I don't think, yeah, probably not the best idea yet. Yeah.
That's fair. I just see like, I don't like the ICE Force masks. It makes me feel like they're bullies, and it really like pisses me off. Because I feel like a lot of these individuals, like individually speaking, they'll go free. There might be like one or two that like get like big name arrests to like have your scapegoat or whatever, assuming they even get prosecuted at all. But I don't know. I'm not saying that like it would be good to dox them, but I think there should be some punishment for these regular fucking people who are just hiding who they are so they can commit these horrible fucking crimes.
There's something like to be said for protecting your identity if you're doing like lawful stuff. I can see both sides of that. But obviously, where we're at now, we're so far over the line. Like, if the president is using you as like a paramilitary force to go and bully other states, and you're also masking your identity at the same time, while also being legally granted, you know, exclusive authority on violence to use against citizens, that like that doesn't sit right. That shouldn't sit right with any American. That's not okay.
Or you can legally racially profile. That's the part that's like really upsetting. That these ICE agents can come up to actual just random brown people and harass the fuck out of them.
Yep.
And nothing will happen, even if they're wrong. Even if they you were a citizen, they'll just like spit on you, say fuck you, and then when you're like, okay, well, I'm gonna report you, you just sound like a stupid cuck, because they're just gonna laugh at you. Oh, okay, yeah, report me, dumbass.
Yeah.
It's a little fucking unfortunate.
Somebody in chat just said, let states pass demasking laws. You know what would be based is for when Trump leaves office, and if we ever finally do this like truth and reconciliation bullshit or whatever, I was going to say, instead of the federal government going after Trump or any of the people involved, there should be like a class action with like all 50 states or whatever doing it. But the venue and the jurisdiction would still be federal, so it wouldn't matter. It could still be like pardoned by a future Republican president, so it wouldn't matter. Never mind.
Yep. What about pardon reform laws? I feel like those should be passed. I feel like the... Do you agree with pardoning like as an executive power of the president, like at all? Just in general?
I feel like the issue that I have is that I read through the Federalist Papers and there's nothing in there about pardoning. I don't know where pardon power comes from. I think it's just like a formality and like a nice thing like for exceptional times. But I really do feel like pardoning is kind of like a big fuck you to the judicial system, to the jury, to the people, to judges. I don't know 100% why necessarily needs to exist. But I will say one thing that is like a very difficult conversation to figure out is like we can't legislate or write rules for everything that a person could do to break the law, right? Like for January 6th, for instance. Well, not just that, but like for January 6th, they were going to break the ECA. They wanted to break the law. They knew that was the law. They were going to break it. And I feel like, yeah, like Donald Trump knows he can't just get rid of birthright citizenship with an executive order. That's crazy. So the idea of us just like, okay, we just need to patch all of these different loopholes that they could use to abuse the government. Like if somebody really wants to break the law or break the rules or do something crazy, like they're going to do it. Yeah.
I guess the answer is just a judicial response when Trump leaves office, but who knows?
The problem is not even just that we have one branch of government that's fucked, which is the executive. The Supreme Court is iffy, they're kind of there, but it's that Congress, the Republicans in Congress have given up their power to the president. Like Mike Johnson and all these guys, they basically decided we're not going to do anything. We're not going to oversee the tariffs. They threw part of the Big Beautiful Bill. Remember when they did that? One day is now an infinite number of days. So we're never going to review the president's tariffs. Yeah, the Republicans in Congress were really happy to just have their power completely usurped by the president. So Congress has vested all of their authority in him, and now they just sit by idly like cucks and do nothing.
Yep, it's because they've learned that's the reward. They get rewarded by Trump, by their electorate, if they just follow Trump, whatever.
Yeah.
That's how they get elected. That's how they make their money. So yeah, it makes sense that Mike Johnson would do nothing because that's what he wants. I think it's just so ridiculous that he's still holding the government. The only reason the government's still shut down is because of the Epstein files, right? Because of that one new lady that they don't want to reopen the government.
No, that Mike Johnson could swear her in. He doesn't need the government. He's lying about that. The reason why they don't want to reopen it is because I don't think they want to budge on the healthcare thing.
Yeah, for the Medicaid cuts, right?
Yeah. Which I don't even know where we're at on that. I don't know if Republicans are negotiating or talking or what. I don't know what the I haven't heard anything about this at all. So, but I haven't been reading
it. Yeah, to me, it seems like they're not talking at all. It seems like the strategy is to just say, well, the Democrats don't want to negotiate. The Democrats don't want to negotiate over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. I guess until something catastrophic happens. Like, I don't know what the end game is. It feels like every day they're just like, okay, we just need to stall one more day. Which is, I don't know. It's just really weird to me. I don't even know how Republicans are reacting to this. Because you would think, obviously, Republicans have no principle, so it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But you would think that they would side with the Democrats or at least understand their point of view because they did this to Obama and to Biden all the fucking time, constantly stalling their shit. So or refusing to negotiate. I mean,
and doing anything. McConnell literally said, right, I'm going to make him a one-term president.
Yep. They there's that Onion meme of they decided to stall the Congress by moving like 1 foot at a time or something.
That video. Yeah, walking to work or something. What was this? Yeah.
They're all like holding arms. Yeah, it's really cute. But yeah, I don't know. It's a lot to take in right now. But don't worry, guys. I'm sure everything will work out at the end. Let's remain optimistic, guys.
Yeah. All right.
Who knows? Well, it was nice chatting with you, bro.
Yeah.
Peace out, guys. Read Pragmatic Papers, please. Volume 30. It's amazing. Read Black Caviar. Read all of them, but read Black Caviar. Okay. Goodbye, my friends. Goodbye.
Have fun. Bye.